I'm Austin.
I'm Bridget.
And I'm Lauren. And this is Tipsy Ghouls, a podcast that searches your neck of the woods for the stories that keep you up at night about true crime, conspiracies, and you guessed it, ghosts.
So without further ado, let's get started. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Oh, it's thinking.
Now it's recording. Now we're recording.
Yay.
All right, going to keep it up on me the whole time.
Is this Somebody Spook Me or is this the real episode?
If it's okay, I would like to move to skip Somebody Spook Me.
That's fine.
I agree. It's late.
Does the motion carry? Great.
Yes. Yeah. All right, just if you're listening to this.
I just work at 9:30 tomorrow, and as much as I know that that's a little bitch thing to not be able to stay up until midnight and then work at 9:30.
No.
I'm old.
I literally don't even want to stay up until midnight. That sounds terrible.
Right. I was talking to one of my coworkers before I left, and I was like, I'm going to make a mad dash home because I have to record my podcast. And then I want to get it done because I do not want to be awake past 11. And then I stopped and I was like, oh my God, I'm so old.
Meanwhile, I'm like, I could probably stay up till 2. I mean, I'm just going to be here. So if I'm tired, who gives a fuck?
I'm literally going to hop off here, take a shower, try to clean up my room a little bit, and then go to bed.
I'm going to hop off here, turn on something to watch, and then just anxiously watch it until it's too late.
Some Cody Co.
Yes.
Okay, I tried to watch his Couples React video, but I have to be honest, I just don't know if I like his girlfriend.
Oh, really? My God.
I love her. She's like the so female funny. Version of him. Yeah.
See, maybe it was just like, just because I've only watched one video of them together, but probably. I just didn't feel the vibe that him and Noelle have.
Yeah, it's definitely different. And like when they're together, it's very like sarcastic. Like it's just it's a different type of humor, I guess.
But yeah.
She'll grow on you probably if you keep watching.
Yeah, I will. Cody Co, if you're listening to this, I'll keep watching. I'll give your girlfriend a chance.
I'll see what happens.
We'll see.
Yes, when Austin was in town, I gave him a YouTube lesson.
She always be introducing me to new YouTubers.
Yes, it's fun.
Yeah, same. But I just don't even listen to them or watch them. So
I watch that's YouTube like more than I watch TV, though. So like that's the dealio. Yeah.
I feel like that's the same thing with you guys telling me to listen to podcasts. I'm like, I'm not going to, though. I only listen to one podcast, and it's Tipsy Ghouls Podcast. But welcome to our Michigan episode, everyone.
Hello.
Yeah, hi.
Such an exciting one.
Thank you for being here today.
A very special episode.
Yes. If you know us, you know we live in Ohio. Which yes. is a neighboring state of Michigan, if you didn't know that.
Yeah, if you don't know that, that's that. We're literally directly south yes. of Michigan.
And at least all the people I know, Michigan is like the vacation area because that's a bunch of lakes and it's very pretty up there. So a lot of people in Ohio go to Michigan. People in Michigan probably don't come to Ohio, but...
There's not really anything to do here or no, in there. Not. I'm not in Ohio anymore.
In there.
In there.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Lake Erie's pretty cool, but like they also have their own lakes, so.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. There's like three other lakes they could go to and they're right. way bigger, so. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, lots we of just, water like, up there.
Have to go to Lake Erie. That's the yeah, thing.
Exactly.
Right.
We have like the Ohio River or Lake Erie.
Yeah.
Ooh. Or like Indian Lake, which is a whole other story.
Dirty.
Yeah, I used to go to Crystal Lake up in Michigan as a kid. Very fun.
I never really went to Michigan growing up. We always went south. We always went to like Gatlinburg because my family had a house down there.
That makes sense.
I guess up there.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
I've got to get more used to not saying down and up when I'm referring to states because
it's just arbitrary.
It's I say down there everywhere, so yeah. It's fine.
Yeah.
Like everywhere is just down there.
Yeah.
Way down yonder.
Way down yonder on the chair.
But yeah, we have a good story for the personal banter section of the episode.
Personal banter.
We had a very eventful weekend. I don't know
if it's good.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a it's comical.
It's ratchet.
Yeah. Lauren and if I had a very interesting weekend. Our friend Margot was in town. Unfortunately, the one time like you and Margot were both in town that doesn't cross weekends. So
I know. Are you kidding me?
I know.
I'm upset. She even texted me. She was like, "Hey, are you going to be in town on Friday?" And I was like, "No."
No. Yeah, of course. The universe couldn't just give us that one thing. Like, come
right.
On.
Right. Like, what the fuck?
So anyway, Margo was one of our friends in college. So I feel like whenever she's here, we just like revert back to our old ways. Just a quick little like, oh, is it 2016 again?
Oh, wait, am I 21 again?
Exactly. So we, she was only in town for one night. So I feel like that was also part of it because we were trying to cram a lot of fun into a few hours. And we ended up downtown with some of her friends. We took a lot of shots at Trolley Stop. Because they were only $3.95.
And they were very strong.
Yes. Some lemon drops. What kind of
shots? They were not.
Lemon drops made with bottom shelf alcohol.
Oh, no.
They were not good. They were not good. They were terrible.
Actually. A hangover for sure.
Yes. And they were pouring a Mary Monk's Weybacher, which was 9%. They had 16 ounce, actually, pours. They said they were 10. It was not 10. It was 16.
Lies.
For $4. So that was extremely dangerous also.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what did me in, I think, yes. That 9% beer.
Yikes.
So, yeah, if you are...
Okay, I'm going to preface this. Anyone who's listening to this podcast who knew me in, 2018, I literally probably threw up from drinking, like, every single weekend in 2019.
Yeah. It's just, like, your body's response.
I was throwing up a lot. And then in 2019, I got a little bit better, only a couple times. And then this past weekend was the first time I've thrown up all year.
Yes. And it was, I blame it on Margo and our subconscious thinking we're in college.
What a champ,
I blame it
though.
On her as well.
But yeah, we ended up, the bars close at 10 around here now. So we had to get it all in really quickly. And we got an Uber driver to take us home.
Oh my God, this Uber.
He, on the account, he had 2,000 trips. So I was like, wow, he must be really experienced. And he was driving a minivan, so we're on the back seat, which is like prime for motion sickness, for me at least.
Mm-hmm. Same.
And he was driving like a fucking maniac on the highway.
Like a fucking crazy person.
Yeah. And I can tell.
Like, even if I was sober, I was going to be motion sick. Like I was going to have to lay down afterward.
Yeah.
Yikes.
And, like, at one point, like, we were all three talking, and Lauren just sits back in her seat and just is silent. And I was like, this is not good. And then she puts the window down and, like, just has her head out, which, like, can solve a lot of nausea issues. If you have your head out the window, that's usually really
you
nice.
Need that breeze when you're drunk and, like, about to, like, throw up. Like, you need that. And it worked for a while. It worked. Yeah. I really thought I was going to make it home.
That was me Halloween of like 2016,
2017. Yes. Oh my God. Yeah. You trying to get an Uber to like Cleveland or something?
It was like $250. I was like, why is this Uber $250?
Yeah. And I looked and it was like Georgia. It was like,
we were going way far away.
Yeah. It's like, what? You were so concerned too. You thought we were not getting home. Good times. But yeah, that's the kind of energy, keep that in mind, that's the kind of energy we had the other night.
So Austin, if you would have been there, it would have been 98 million times.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Gone to jail probably.
Yeah, and like honestly, like Austin shouldn't even feel bad that he missed this night. I mean, obviously it was fun in like retrospect, and it was fun to see Margo, but like it's not one that you're like, man, I wish I was there. So anyway, we're on like the home stretch, and like he's pulling into Lauren's neighborhood, and I like something. I was like, is Lauren about to throw up? I can't really tell. And I was like, oh no, she's fine. And literally, me and Margo did not even notice that she was throwing up.
I didn't even know it was coming. It just happened. Yeah. Like, I didn't even know. Like, I really thought I was going to be good. And I was just like, going to throw up in my front yard really quick before I got inside. Yeah. But I literally, it just started coming out. I could not say anything. I had like half of my body out the window.
No.
Yeah. Like, so like, even shoulders. As it was happening afterwards, no idea. Like, I didn't know it was happening. And so he sees it in the rearview mirror and starts yelling at us. And like, this is the first time I've heard him speak. And like, I can understand foreign people pretty well. He didn't have a great grasp on the English language at all, so like half the words I don't know what he was saying. It wasn't even just like an accent, he just didn't know what he just wasn't speaking English. So we're like, don't worry, we're gonna spray it off, like it's okay. And he's like, well, I'm gonna charge you $500. Like, $500? It was all outside the car, like it was just like down the side, which is gross,
yeah,
but cleanable. And yeah, it was fresh, right, so you can just spray it off. And so he pulls onto Lauren Street and just stops in the middle, like not even in front of her house. And we all get out. He starts yelling at me. I start yelling at him. Lauren runs into her house to grab the hose. Margo's trying to like reason with him. And Margo doesn't even know which house is Lauren's. So she grabs a random neighbor's hose and pulls it up and is like, look, like she has like a cup of water and is like dumping it. And then she grabs the hose. And I'm trying to de-escalate him from $500. I'm like, why the fuck would you need $500? And so I like eventually get him down to like, he just wants like $50 or whatever. Because he can't work for the rest of the night or you know, he's Ubering.
Like,
he
just has to go through the car wash. Well, I'm just like, go to Speedway.
Yeah.
Get just, like two bottles of water and just spray it off. Like, that's exactly all it is.
Yeah. And like, I was just frustrated with this guy. Margo's hilarious and probably should have handled the situation from the beginning, but she kept coming over like, look, we got $30 cash, like that's all you're gonna get. And like every time she came up, he would start like raising the price again, and I was like, Margo, go inside. I was just like, I felt so bad because I was yelling at her, but she didn't care. But eventually Lauren's neighbor came out and was like, what? I don't even know what.
Well,
she said to
so
you.
I went to the backyard to go try to put the hose in, but it was like spraying all over me. So I texted Beach and I said, water is going.
Yeah. I
went back to go outside out front and Daisy got out. So I was trying to catch Daisy. And so I finally got Daisy and I'm just standing there in my driveway watching this all go down. I'm like, what the fuck is happening? And then Paige is crying. Margo's like walking around and our neighbor comes out. She's like, what's going on out here? And I was like, well, long story short. And then she goes, wait, where's your car? And I was like, oh, it's at the Oregon District. And she's like, oh. And I was like, well, long story short, I puked on the side of this guy's car. He's our Uber. And now he's harassing my friends and yelling at them and won't leave us alone. And she was like, well, I'm going to call the cops if he doesn't leave. Yes. And I was like, fuck yeah.
And she's the one that owns like all of the houses on the street. So she's like the boss lady in charge, you know?
Yeah.
And eventually,
and then he left.
Well, eventually he was like, fine, I'll just take the $30. So like, went up to Margo, like I remember just grabbing the money out of her hand and just going over there, just being like, here, just go. And he never charged me, so I don't know. I gave him a 5-star review on Uber. It looks like nothing happened because he didn't say anything, I didn't say anything.
That's probably how he makes his money. He drives like shit. It makes people car sick, and
that's
then
what
they
I was
up.
Thinking
probably.
And then that's, he's like, $500.
Yeah, I mean, and I know there is some kind of charge that you can do through Uber if you throw up inside, but not outside. Right. And so Margo took pictures of the car and stuff. But anyway, we were just an emotional wreck after that. And
yeah, so you're welcome for that.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
Jason had to come home and give us all hugs and bring us Taco Bell.
I was going to say that it ended with Taco Bell. Yes, oh, I
did.
Know you guys so well.
It did.
Wow, I miss you all so much already. Oh,
I know.
This has turned into a funny story to me being emotional.
Yeah. Trust me, it was not like a night that was like, man, you should have been there. It was like, oh, God. Right. It's a good thing
it was
you
like,
weren't there.
No, It was like typical girls' night. Someone's throwing up. Someone's crying. Someone's like
fighting and
yelling and being mad. Like typical.
Yeah, Jason didn't know at first what happened when he came in because Lauren was like, "What did you text him?" It was like, "Why T? Why?"
I said, "Okay, T," and then he said, "I'm coming home." And I said, "If Y want, I threw up. Can you get Taco Bell or something?"
Like, yeah, and we were like, "Get crazy with it.
be extra with it, please."
I can honestly, without a doubt, tell you that if I were in that situation, I would have been like, "I'm going to bed," and just walked into your house and like laid down. No. During all of that, I would have gotten out of the Uber and been like, "Fuck this, I'm going to sleep," and then went and laid down on the couch, and I would have been out by the time you all made it inside.
Oh, that's so funny. My god,
that's where I would be. If anyone was curious what kind of person I'd be in that situation.
Well, it's funny from Jason's perspective. He said he just walked in and we all just wanted hugs from him immediately. We were so excited he was there, and he's like, I never felt so cool in my life. Like, it's just because I feel like a celebrity. Yeah. But yeah, good times. I didn't throw up, so I just processed all that alcohol.
Wow.
I don't know how my body did it. I think I was still drunk the whole next day.
Probably. I made myself throw up when we got home, too, because I was like, if I don't do it, I'm going to be having the spins. Like, I can't do this.
Mm-hmm.
So, yep. So, that was our weekend. I usually try not to get that drunk because I hate it.
Mm-hmm. I don't like it either. But. Good time. Good story then we for went the podcast.
Yeah. Great story. I hope you guys enjoyed that.
Yeah.
Laughing at my fucking misery.
I know I did.
But. I cracked my phone screen on Jesus Friday, Christ. Too. I don't know the fuck I did. I just dropped my phone.
You went to call Jason, and then your phone just fell out of your hand. That's what happened.
Oh.
You went like this, and then it just fell. You're like, what happened?
What happened?
But I got an iPhone 11 today.
Oh, welcome. So welcome.
Yeah,
welcome.
So I finally upgraded from my 7 Plus to the 11.
You know what? It was time.
So nice.
It needed to happen. That was God saying, bitch.
Get a new phone, bitch.
iPhone 11 yeah. time.
If you make it literally. Through this night, you're getting a new phone.
Mm-hmm. He tested us.
The yes. Lord is testing you.
But then we drank our hangover away yesterday at a brewery, mm-hmm. Southern Ohio Brewing, which was really cute.
Okay, I wasn't as jealous about your weekend activities as I was about yesterday. I was
yeah,
very
it
jealous.
Was that brewery, because remember, didn't we go on a walk in that, like in the bike path? The Beaver Creek when we went to Rotary Park?
Oh, it was over there?
Yeah.
Oh. I didn't realize it was the same area.
Yeah, so it's like in that same, it's like in that parking lot.
Gotcha. Mm.
So like that event center.
Oh, I didn't even realize
super
it was
good.
That same spot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was jealous.
The coolest part was the back patio is just like a big grassy area, and they have chairs, and you can bring your own chairs. So, and it's like a huge area, and we were joking that like, if we had a YouTube channel, we would have like a series where we try to get away with more and more stuff. Like having... like a little league
like a
soccer
night.
Tournament. Yeah. And like screening a movie on a projector, but like charging people to watch it like in yeah. their back patio because it's so big. You could like camp there, like have a commune.
Yeah.
Camp
wow.
there.
Definitely.
It's funny. Yeah, definitely go there.
Lots of dogs, lots yes. of kids.
Yes. But you could be
the beer was really good though.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Oh my God. My feet smell so bad right now. I walked 22,000 steps today.
Oh my God.
That's 11 miles.
I can't handle that. That's terrible.
I've done that 2 days in a row now.
Oh my God.
Tomorrow.
Are you like.
What?
Is there just exposed bone on your foot?
Actually, my feet have like basically gone numb. When we went back to work, I like the first week of work, I thought I was going to die. And then, like, after I got used to it again, it doesn't bother me anymore.
I know. That's, like, when I went from my first job out of college back to retail.
Yeah.
and you just like don't realize like how much you're standing all the time, and your like calves hurt and your ankles hurt and like everything it's fucking so hurts. Much.
But
throbbing feet.
It makes me it made me realize that's why my calves are so spicy, because because everybody's always like, oh my god, your calves are so nice, and they're like rock hard. And they are. People point my calves out before they point anything else out on me because I'm a fat ass. Wow. But
they're just searching your calves.
Your calves are.
I'm kidding.
Fine. I did hear that people think you're 20% cuter than you think you are.
Nice.
That's so nice.
Yeah. So next time,
I believe it.
Next time you're getting down on yourself, remember that cute boy or girl that you think is nice and awesome thinks you're 20% cuter than you think you are. And if that's just only 20% cute, then there you go.
That's fine.
Well, and that's a friendly reminder too. Like, think about how many people you've seen in public that are like, and you're like, ooh, they're cute, or like, oh my god, I have a crush on them for holding the door open.
Oh, I think that I literally walk past probably 5,000 to 7,000 people a day, and I'm like, you're hot, you're hot, you're hot, you're hot, you're
exactly. Like, so just imagine how many people are saying that about you.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
And I think, have you guys ever heard the phenomenon of why sandwiches you make don't taste as good as like store bought sandwiches? Because
but that's facts.
It's because you've spent so long like smelling each of the ingredients separately, and you're already like desensitized to it, so then it doesn't smell as good. So I think that's the same thing that happens with your appearance. You spend so long looking at every element of your body and your appearance that like you can't appreciate how good it is, you know, to someone that is new.
Wow, welcome to our self-help podcast.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Well, tonight we have a listener story for Michigan.
Yeah.
Do you want to do that first, or I feel like we should do it first and then get into our episode.
Yeah.
Okay.
Who's reading
it? Yeah, that sounds
good. One of you guys can, because I read the last one.
All right. So I have the DM pulled up. It's from Mary Makarowitz.
Sorry that she just butchered that.
Makarewicz. How the fuck do you say
Hold
that?
Hold on. I'm going to look.
Rakamowitz.
On my way.
Oh, maybe it's Makarowitz.
Makarowitz.
Macaroni. Hey, macaroni. It's Makarowitz.
But there's an R.
Makarowitz. Makarowitz.
Okay, I'm going to go with Makarowitz.
Makarowitz.
How about we just call her Mary M?
Okay, yes. Mary M. You know who you are.
I'm going to leave that all in.
Yeah, leave that all in because that's fucking gold.
You're welcome. Okay.
Okay, so this is the story that she sent us. She said, hey, I started listening to your guys' podcast, and I have a true crime to tell you from Northern Michigan. Woo! This one is my favorite personally, but not many know of it because of the old village residents hate this case and don't like to talk about it. It's based in Isidore, Michigan, which is an hour away from where she lives, and a nun named Sister Yanina went missing in August of 1907. During the day, all of the nuns would go to their bedroom for a nap, and when they woke up, they noticed Sister Yanina wasn't there. There was lots of speculation that the other fellow nun named Sister Stella had killed her because she was jealous of the head priest favoring Sister Yanina, and that she was inappropriate for being very talkative and friendly with the priest. Sister Stella even made the joke, quote, hopefully the dogs got her. When other sisters asked her if she had seen Sister Yanina when she disappeared. Sister Stella even made the joke, hopefully the dogs got her, when the sisters asked her if she had seen Sister Yanina when she disappeared. Long story short, they found the body of Sister Yanina buried in the church basement under a pile of lumber in November 1918.
Wow. Oh my God.
So she was skeletonized, but there was also a fetus skeleton too. So she was pregnant.
Oh my God.
Oh my God, that's such a good one.
A scandal.
Oh
They discovered she had blunt force trauma to the head, but actually died from suffocation of being buried alive. Sister Stella was found guilty of first-degree murder and was sent to Detroit Women's Prison, but was released in 1927. She said, Mary goes on to say, this is an extremely long case with lots of details that you can Google from a book called Isidore's Secret by Marty Link. It has lots of details about everything, and it's so interesting to me. And then she said, P.S., one night a search party was resting near the woods before they were about to go and look for her, and they all heard a woman singing in the woods. They all knew it had to have been Sister Yanina's, because she was known to have sang the specific song they heard, and the voice was said to have been hers. No one went out into the woods during that because they were all terrified. Honestly, kind of think it could have been her spirit. Hope you liked it. Mary.
Oh, my gosh.
I love that.
Mary.
Mary.
Mary, that's
coming
story,
in with the heater.
You're that rivaling story our storytelling.
Yeah, true crime, conspiracy, and ghosts all in one story.
Right.
Wow.
That is it. Wow. We can quit now. We found the best story.
Mary, you did it. And honestly, wait, I was going to say this earlier, but Mary is an OG listener. She started from the beginning when we sucked ass, and now that we suck ass just a little less, she's still with us. Mary, you're a real one.
Shout out to you.
And we love you. You're awesome.
Maybe when we make merch, we'll send you some free of charge before release.
Wait, oh my gosh, we'll send you a sticker.
Yeah, we're making stickers. I forgot.
Yeah, we'll send you a sticker.
Yeah, send us your, if you're listening, Mary, send us your address.
Yeah, wait, that's how we'll know you're still listening, Mary.
Yes, true.
Hopefully you still are. Hopefully at least you just, hopefully you made it to the Michigan episode so you can hear your story.
You know,
we're listening for that.
We've had some peaks and we've had some valleys as far as recording episodes. And if you made it through those valleys, then you made it. You did that.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
Well, Bea, do you want to tell your Michigan ghost story?
Bea, do you have a Michigan ghost story?
Your grandma?
Yeah, I completely forgot. Oh, my God. This is a good one.
I'm so excited.
Okay. So, as I said earlier, my family always went to Crystal Lake for vacation. And it's because my uncle's, now ex-wife, but still friendly, uncle's ex-wife has a house up there on Crystal Lake, and my grandma on my dad's side loved to visit. That was like their happy place, and the whole family would go up there, so it was just a big family area. And my grandma recently died. She had dementia for a really long time, so you know, when it happened, it was sad, obviously, but not super heartbreaking, because she was out of pain. And she died at like 6 a.m. one morning. And my uncle's ex-wife was up at the house that morning, and she didn't know that she had passed yet. And she must have known she was like in final care, but not that she had died yet. But she had a knock on the door at like 6:30 a.m, and it loud enough to like wake her up and make her go get the door. And then there was no one there. And she was just like, that was weird. And so it was kind of up for the rest of the day. And then like an hour later, got a text that my grandma had passed at that time. And she was like, I had a knock on the door at that exact time. And I think it was just grandma just visiting and, you know, going back to the house that she used to love.
Saying bye.
Yeah, which
my
is
God, yes.
Crazy. Gives me goosebumps.
That's crazy.
Spooky,
yeah.
Spooky, spooky.
I know. Ookie, spooky.
Absolutely.
And we always claim butterflies are, you know, the sign of my other grandma being passed. And so now we look for butterflies for both of them. And that day or a couple days later, the official Facebook page for Crystal Lake posted a picture of like a really pretty butterfly. And like, they don't post butterflies often. It was just like, they just happened to post one.
Hey, I grandma. Love that.
Yeah, I know, right? Isn't that nice?
Wow.
But if I was a ghost, I would love to hang out at Crystal Lake because it's very nice.
Same.
Yeah.
But yeah, good ghost story.
Absolutely.
Well, you know what else is good?
That's so
positive
good.
Things that happen into our lives.
I'll tell you something good, Austin.
Lauren, yeah, Lauren, why don't you tell me something good?
My something good is that when I went to go get my phone today, the guy gave me the trade-in price, but I didn't trade in my phone.
Oh.
So now I only have to pay like $28 a month for this phone.
Wow.
And I can sell my other phone online for like $250.
Wow.
Wow. That's really nice.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So that's a plus. That's my something good for today.
Yeah.
Wow. That's awesome.
Beach?
Ooh, my something good is that my mom got a Costco membership, and I am the other person she put on it.
Hell yeah.
Wow. So
lit over here.
She said, Ben who?
Well, he lives at home, so.
I know.
But we're supposed to be living in the same address, but it's fine.
It's all right. It's Costco's not listening.
Nobody tell.
Yeah, exactly. So if anyone ever needs to ball out at Costco, just let me know.
I do. I need to ball out at Costco. Actually, wait, can you shop at like different grocery stores across the U.S.?
Probably. I can probably fly down to Florida, take you to Costco and fly back.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying next time you come down, we'll buy all of our groceries Costco for the visit that. From Costco.
Yeah, you could literally stock up for the year. Like I got a box of Banza chickpea pasta, which I didn't realize was like really good chickpea pasta.
Oh my god, it's so good.
And it's like just chickpeas and like tapioca flour. Wow. And I think the box was like $12 and has 20 servings of pasta.
Oh shit.
Holy shit.
Like, oh my god. That's awesome. So some good deals.
Yeah, so there's gonna be a Costco trip when you guys come down next. Cool.
Yes, for sure. What's your something good, Austin?
See, I usually have this prepared already, and I don't have one today. I think something good for me this week is that we are working on stickers. One of my friends who is an artist is designing three different stickers for us. And we haven't been able to see them yet, and he's been traveling because he is still furloughed during these COVID times. So he's been traveling to different family and safely traveling, nice. I might add. But he's traveling and visiting his family members. And so he said that he was going to work on three different sticker designs for us. And then on top of that, we have created a sticker that we are going to also get made up that we can give away and put places.
Yay! Yeah.
Oh, I'm so excited. Like a little cute marketing one. So
that is my something good, that we have created stickers, because stickers are amazing. Yes. And I love them. Yes.
They are.
Yes.
And I need some more for my fridge.
Yeah.
How about this? If you subscribe to our Patreon, we will send you three stickers.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, that's a better idea.
That's it.
A genius.
If you subscribe to our Patreon for $5, we will send you three stickers for you and two friends.
And if you are still subscribed when the new stickers come out that are going to be like actual art stickers, we will send you one of those for free. Also, if you're still subscribed when they come out.
Yep.
Yes.
100. Wow. Great ideas, guys. Wow. I'm proud of
us.
There
you go.
Yes, me too. And to celebrate that great idea, let's have a cheers.
Virtual cheers.
Yes.
Cheers. Lauren, what are you sipping on?
I'm drinking water.
Wow. Interesting.
Because my stomach is still upset from throwing up until 2 p.m. on Saturday. So
I don't blame you. Yeah, I
could like barely eat today.
I don't know what happened to my body, but I just processed all the alcohol and I never really felt that hungover. So I don't know what the fuck is wrong with me.
It's because you're missing your gallbladder. It has one less stop to go on the way out.
True.
Oh. weird.
You officially removed one bus stop from the exit of your body.
I did. Yeah, I mean, wow. They're not wrong.
You cut the root.
Wow, I didn't even think about that.
I should get my gallbladder removed too.
I don't get bloated anymore either. Like, I can eat a bunch of like Mexican food. I don't feel bloated.
I wouldn't.
That's the final straw. It's getting removed. Exactly. I'm calling my doctor tomorrow.
That's it. I'm setting up the appointment now.
I'm manifesting a gallbladder stone as we speak.
I am not.
Oh, that's funny.
Totally kidding. Awesome.
Unless the universe wants to step in. Austin, what are you drinking?
I'm drinking house wine, which is canned wine, and it is limited edition rosé bubbles. House wine is literally just canned wine or champagne, but the cool thing about this limited edition can is that for every can that you buy, House Wine will donate $2 to the human rights campaign for every case of limited edition rosé sold. So I guess it's a case. But if you buy a case of limited edition rosé, then they will donate $2 to the human rights campaign. Oh my God,
that's amazing.
And you'll know it's that one because it's in a rainbow can.
Wow. That's so cool.
That's amazing.
Human rights for everyone.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
I've seen that house wine on TikTok a lot. And this one girl, which I guess if you see this video and you're not a big drinker, you wouldn't know this. But she was like, I saw a TikTok that said the two cans of house wine equals like three bottles of wine or something like that, or whatever it equals.
It's just one bottle.
Yeah. I was like, I don't know how to break this to you, but all canned wine equals that. If you, it doesn't, not just specifically house wine. Right. All canned wine is two cans for one bottle.
It literally tells you on the side, like if you look on the side of it, it says that one can equals, yeah, or two, yeah, cans two equals a whole bottle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is not new information.
No, it's not. It's like a TikTok trend.
Like, all right, like, girl, you do
these
you.
Kids out here. I know. I am drinking
fucking
mimosas.
Children.
I know. I saw that.
yeah, I'm drinking mimosas left over from brunch when Austin was here.
Yes.
Very nice.
I already miss my bourbon that I left there.
Oh yeah!
I swear, if anyone drinks that, I will murder someone.
I'm not gonna drink
it.
I
won't.
Don't worry. It's in safekeeping. I'll put it in the safe.
Put it in the safe. Open up the safe. Bitches got a lot to say.
All right. So
next line on the outline.
I wrote down some fun facts about Michigan, but they are also lots of opinions, but they are facts as well.
Interesting. Or an
intro to fun facts / opinions that are also facts.
Yes.
True.
All right. So Michigan is where my whole entire family is from. My mom's side of the family is from the Upper Peninsula, and my dad's side of the family is from down in the thumb. Michigan is absolutely one of my favorite places on planet Earth. If you have not gone, I 100% recommend traveling up north, but like the real up north, as in north of Traverse City or the Upper Peninsula. Yes. There is really nowhere else like it up there. It is pristine.
Yeah,
my second fun fact is about the Upper Peninsula delicacy called a pasty. So imagine like a calzone, but inside it's meat, potatoes, carrots, and like other starchy vegetables.
Oh my God, that sounds so good.
They are amazing. Wow. And they're one of my favorite foods of all time. And then another Upper Peninsula specific delicacy is kudigi. So it's kind of like it's kind of like Italian sausage, but it is way fattier and like sweet. So they add like cinnamon and stuff to it. So, and it's served on a sturdier, like longer bun.
Oh, Okay.
And with like a slice of provolone or mozzarella cheese and pizza sauce.
Okay.
Shit is fucking fire.
Why have you never made us this food, Lauren?
Because the only time I can get pasties is when my parents go up to the UP. Can't you? I can't go because I don't
make your own pasties, Lauren.
Hell no, I'm not that finished. I'm not that good. the best pizza joint in the whole entire world is located in Ishpeming, Michigan. It's called Congress Pizza. So if you are ever in the area, I 10 out of 10 recommend going. Although I don't know if they accept card, so definitely bring cash.
I like that. All right.
Pro tip.
Yeah, pro tip.
Michigan is surrounded by the Great Lakes. So you have Michigan, Superior, Huron, and Lake Erie, except for Lake Ontario, which borders New York. Lake Superior is deep enough to cover the whole continental United States in 2 inches of water.
Wow.
Mackinac Island is a tiny little island in the middle of the upper and lower peninsulas of Michigan where there are no vehicles allowed. So you can only travel on the island by like either walking, biking, on a horse, or like you get there via boat.
Aren't there golf carts there too?
No motorized vehicles.
It's another island.
None of
oh,
all.
Yeah, you're
that's
right.
That's wow. Put in bay.
Yeah.
Whoops. Traverse City is home to nearly 40 wineries.
Ooh.
Traverse City. Cool.
Michigan is home to the only floating post office. The J.W. Westcott II is the only boat in the world that delivers mail to ships while they are still underway. They have been operating for 125 years.
Wow.
Wow, that's really cool.
There are countless shipwrecks in the Great Lakes that have been preserved almost perfectly due to the cold temperatures at the bottom of these lakes. The Edmund Fitzgerald is perhaps the most famous shipwreck that is still lying in Lake Superior.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of stuff about the shipwrecks. Cool.
You are never farther than 6 miles away from a body of water while you are in Michigan.
Wow, I didn't know that either.
And there are over 3,000 miles of shoreline, 11,000 inland lakes, and millions of acres of forest cover.
Damn.
Michigan has the most registered boats and snowmobiles in the country.
Oh.
And
we love versatility.
Everyone. Yeah, we love it. We love the summer and the winter. Everyone in the lower peninsula of Michigan is a troll because they live under the Mackinac Bridge. And the most important fact is that Michigan is the best state in the union.
Ooh.
So that's
highly opinionated.
It is up there. It's good.
And that's facts.
Facts. I found another fun fact while I was searching. There is a water tower called the
Ypsilanti
water tower, and it looks like a penis. And it has the nickname Brick Dick. Here, it's floating.
Ah.
It's oh, very wow. Phallic. Wow.
Yes. Extremely phallic.
Interesting.
It says that it holds the record for the most phallic building. And its nickname is the Brick Dick.
That's amazing. So,
very all right.
Wow. Wow, I love Michigan. Sounds
I just like, remembered I have some Michigan like beer nickname. In my fridge for later. Yes. Mm. So I will be cracking open a Michigan beer courtesy of Lauren later on.
Yeah, I'm like sad that I'm not drinking any of my Michigan beer, but I can't. I just can't.
By the way, I heard that you were offering up plants, Lauren, and I was offended that none of them were offered to me.
I didn't. Wait, did I have them? Yeah, I did. You could have come and gotten some. They're like taking over my house.
I wasn't extended the invitation, and I'm only slightly
I kind of forgot they were there.
It was just like on the way out, like, you need to take some plants for me. And I was like, okay. Yes.
Literally, if you mail me some, sorry. I will love it. if you Perfect. If when you come down, you just carry two on each of your laps. Also accepted. Okay.
That works.
I guess you can carry on a plant.
I did it in December. So
that's so funny. That's hilarious.
All right.
Austin, do you want to take it away? Start us out with some spooky, scary skeletons.
Sure. I can't talk about skeletons, but I can talk about some ghosts.
I'm done Alrighty. With
that. Yeah. Are you guys ready?
Yes.
Okay. So this week I am talking about the Whitney in Detroit, Michigan.
I've never heard this story before.
It's a mansion. I literally don't know what she just said.
I don't know.
So my sources this week are 99WMFK.com, which is a radio station, an article by Jonathan Turton from Amuse.com, Detroit Free Press, and Wikipedia. So, let's get started. The Whitney was built by successful lumber baron David Whitney Jr., one of Michigan's wealthiest citizens and the wealthiest man in Detroit. He was worth more than $15 million at the time of his death in 1900.
Wow. Whit-
yeah, so I don't know what the translation is, but I feel like he's probably rivaling that bitch from Amazon.
Probably. That bitch from Amazon.
I couldn't remember his name.
Okay, it's $462 million today.
There you go. So not Damn. Quite the bitch from Amazon, but still a yes, lot of money.
But close.
So Whitney yes. was born August 23rd, 1830 in Watertown, Massachusetts. He quickly established himself in the lumber trade and moved to Detroit at the age of 27. The company he and his brother Charles headed expanded from the eastern seaboard and Canada to Michigan, Ohio, Pennsylvania, and Indiana, and was for some time the largest dealer in the United States. Lumber was not Whitney's only business venture. He also was involved in real estate speculation, steamships, and banking. And if you've heard it before, you'll hear it right now. It just goes to show you that white men could do whatever the hell they wanted to back then.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And I reiterate.
As per my last email.
Apparently, that's the theme of our podcast. We should just change our name. To white men could do whatever they wanted in the early 1900s.
Yeah. 1900s. Whitney.
My brain's dead.
It's mine too. Cool. Whitney married Flora McLaughlin in 1860 and had one son, David C. Whitney, and three daughters, Flora Ann Whitney, Catherine Whitney, and Grace Whitney. The Whitneys built a home on the corner of Woodward and Sproat in 1870. The home, which has been attributed to Mortimer L. Smith, who designed the first Detroit Opera House, was a restrained Second Empire-style brick home with a Mansard roof and heavily bracketed eaves. The home quickly seemed passé to the out of date, especially to the family with such means, reputation, and influence as the Whitneys. So they literally built it, and then they were like, nah, this ain't it.
Yeah, that's so strange.
Whitney himself made it known that he would be happy living in a log cabin, but Mrs. Whitney felt otherwise. W. Hawkins Ferry said in one of his seminal books, The Buildings of Detroit, and in 1890, David Whitney hired architect Gordon W. Lloyd, who he had employed to design the Grand Circus Building, to build him a new, more fashionable home farther north at Woodward and Canfield Avenues. So work began on the home in 1890. It was estimated to cost $400,000, which in today's money is about $9.5 million, and Damn. Was featured in several newspapers of the time. It was constructed using rose-colored South Dakota jasper and a type of granite, and which is a type of granite, and a and wood sourced from every continent on the planet. And I'm sure you're wondering, because I was wondering too, is there wood in Antarctica?
Yeah, I don't know.
Because literally I saw that in like three different sources, but like there's seven continents, one of them being Antarctica. Oh, is there wood in Antarctica?
Maybe like driftwood or something.
Maybe.
Or they just, back then you could just call any wood Antarctic wood.
Maybe, yeah. So the Whitney Mansion is 22,000 square feet and has 52 rooms, including 10 bathrooms, 218 windows, 20 fireplaces, and numerous stained glass windows crafted by Tiffany's of New York, which are now estimated to cost more than the mansion itself.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
She's extras.
Yeah, who the fuck?
Right. It was the first residential home in Detroit to have an elevator for personal use, and it ran on hydraulics. The Whitney spent an additional $250,000, or $6.2 million today, on decorating and furnishing their home, and another $300,000, $7.5 million today, on artwork from around the world. So
Are
this home
me?
Was filled with money.
Holy shit.
Money. The they spent some money.
That's insane.
Oh, speaking of which, there is a Tiffany Glass Museum here in Florida. It's in Winter Park, that when you guys come down, ooh, we should definitely go to it.
Yeah, that sounds cool.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Okay. unfortunately, Flora Whitney, his wife, would never see the mansion's completion. In 1882, Flora passed away. It didn't take long for David to bounce back, though, because a year after his wife's death, he would go on to marry Flora's sister, Sarah.
What a dirty dog.
I literally will never understand.
Red flag.
Any of that. Any of that ever.
Yeah.
That's fucked up.
The mansion was finally finished in 1894, and David and Sarah lived there for 4 years together until his passing in December of 1900. Supposedly, David Whitney died of a heart attack after one of his daughters told him that she was getting married and moving to Europe.
All right.
So dramatic. What a dramatic life.
I know.
Honestly. Sarah remained living in the mansion until she eventually died there as well. So, yeah, a lot of people died there. A lot of deaths, but nothing too crazy yet. Mm-hmm. So when Detroit's population and boundary expanded soon after Whitney's death, the house went from being in a plush area on the outskirts of the city with beautiful sports club next door to being overran by an explosion of mass production, with a soda canning factory opening next door, somewhat dampening the aristocratic vibe that they were going for.
Yeah, I would say.
A few decades after Whitney's death, nobody wanted to buy the place, probably in part to its location. A caretaker lived in it for 20 years or so until it was given to the Wayne County Medical Center, and then it became a hospice for tuberculosis patients, which, of course, added to the horror stories. Also, when I told you guys that it's made of pink granite, at one point the smog from the production facilities around it was so bad that it made it gray.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's just an extra fun fact for you.
Fuck capitalism.
Honestly. So now with all that being said, we're going to move on to the ghosts, which is everyone's favorite parts. So dating back to the renovations in the mid-1980s, there have been rumored occurrences of supernatural activities on all three floors of the Whitney House. The causes of these events have been linked to Whitney and both of his wives dying inside of the mansion. To this day, some people believe that the ghost of David Whitney Jr. haunts the Whitney Mansion. One of the most haunted areas of the house appears to be the elevator. There are reports of the elevator moving on its own between floors without any passengers. And this has been caught on security cameras almost nightly, and staff have experienced it firsthand.
Oh,
and
my God.
Now I know, like, a lot of people are probably like, oh, modern elevators move on their own too. But, like, this is like an elevator from the late 1900s, early, yeah, or late 1800s, early 1900s.
Hydraulics.
Right. Yeah. So it's not like an automated thing.
Oh.
According to psychic medium Christy Robinette, Flora always wanted to live in the mansion, but as we already know, she died before she could. And according to the psychic, she also was probably not the most thrilled that he married her sister. I wouldn't be either if that happened to me.
Yeah, I'd be pissed.
In a direct quote, she says, so it's actually Flora that haunts the mansion because her sister Sarah was the one that got to live in the mansion. And that is a direct quote from the psychic. But Robinette also says that Whitney's spirit is also there because of his death within the mansion as well. Unexplained apparitions have been reported on the second and third floors, which could be linked to the tuberculosis patients that passed away inside of the home. One evening at closing, a staff member witnessed an older gentleman gazing out of the second floor dining room window. When he was asked to leave, the figure simply vanished into the floor.
He left.
Yeah, he did what you asked. Reports.
He didn't say how.
Reports by the mansion staff members of sounds of utensils being stacked and table settings being moved all on their own have also added to the mystery of the Whitney Mansion. A former tour guide, server, and host also experienced the paranormal occurrences. He says a collection of dolls completely vanished from within one of the rooms, while in an empty section of the building, he heard disembodied voices murmuring his name.
Ooh.
Ooh, that's scary.
I swear to God, if I ever hear a ghost say my name, I'm done. That's it.
I'm out.
Out.
Yeah, I'm same.
Quitting. Yeah, I'm quitting. According to a server at the Whitney, the outhouse is the most haunted area of the property. The outhouse was originally built for Whitney's slaves. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking that it's like a bathroom with like a dirty thing with a hole in the ground. But this outhouse is just a complete separate building that the slaves were working in. And I tried to look and see if it had a different name, but it's just called the outhouse everywhere I saw.
I mean, that makes sense.
Sure. So inside the outhouse is a dining table that is set for afternoon tea and has been untouched for as long as anyone can remember. This part of the estate is off limits to the public and has no lights or electricity, but if you're lucky enough to see it, it's completely covered in dust. A dormant dining room table otherwise perfectly set. Adding to the ghostly atmosphere, the outhouse has no electricity, like I've said before, and sits in complete darkness at night, while the rest of the house, the rest of the mansion has full electricity and is illuminated. And an additional fun fact, the electricity for the entire mansion was installed by David Whitney Jr.'s good friend, Thomas Edison.
What?
Oh, right. My God.
That's
Isn't
that,
that is
cool?
So cool.
I know, right?
Wow. That I want to go just for that.
Right. Just because Thomas Edison touched it.
Yeah, that's so cool.
Right. So today you can visit the Whitney for lavish events or a nice dinner date. But whether you decide to pop in for a dinner, grab a drink, or just to tour the famous Whitney Mansion, remember that the Whitney family is still in residence. And Sarah Whitney hasn't had her tea for centuries. So don't fuck with her. And that is the story of the Whitney in Detroit, Michigan.
Yes. I just looked up pictures of it. It is.
It's pretty. Yeah.
Immaculate.
Elaborate. Yes.
Yes.
It's cool.
Beautiful.
I just like the fact that it has Tiffany glass in it. It sets it apart already. Mm-hmm. And wood sourced from every continent in the world. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Iconic.
Yeah, that's amazing.
It's so cool. Yeah, it looks really
It's a beautiful
awesome.
Home, yeah.
It's the classic, like, if a kid was to create a mansion, that's exactly what it is.
Like, what yes. a kid thinks of as a mansion now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
All right.
That was good. Well, before I start my story, I remember that I had some really good Michigan beer in my fridge that Lauren gave me from Black Rocks Brewery in Marquette.
Woo! Fucking love Marquette. I'd live there in a fucking heartbeat if I could.
I've never been there, but these beers would make me move there. Like, everything I've had from them is so good. This one is Grand Rapids. Rapids?
Grand my brain Rapids. Is,
like, crossed. It's obviously, like, Grand Rapids is what they were, you know, going off of. But it's Grand Rapids. And yes. It's a dry-hopped cream ale.
Rapids.
It's so good.
Out tits.
Oh, my God.
I know. Isn't it so good? That's my favorite from there.
It's, like, the most balanced beer I've ever had. Like, the most perfect beer.
It's that Lake Superior water.
Mm-hmm. It really does make a difference. Michigan beer is so good. That's where Bell's is from, too.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so, Founders.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, the best beer in the country is, like, all from Michigan.
Suck it, bitches.
Some of them liked our post the other day.
Really? Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. I would love for them to, like
this shit.
actually interact with us.
Yeah, send us some beer and we will do something for you.
I'll talk about your beer if you send it to me. Yeah, I will. I'll do it, I swear.
I'll talk the shit out of it. I'll drink it for I'll the talk rest the of our
shit
podcast.
I will talk the shit out of your beer if you send it to me.
All right, you guys ready for some conspiracy?
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
The story is, it's all true, so it's not really a conspiracy, but it is a crazy story that is still going on. And there is definitely some conspiracy in how and why this happened, and it's still happening. So I'm sure you guys will know exactly what I'm talking about once I start. And my sources are CBS This Morning, CNN, and Vox.com. I watched a video from them, a couple other YouTube videos.
Okay.
So, 9 years ago, the city of Flint, Michigan was completely broke. Yes. You know what I'm talking about. Yep. The city of Flint, Michigan was completely broke. Millions of people had lost their jobs when General Motors plants closed, despite Flint being the birthplace of the company. This community was hit hard with poverty, and those who didn't flee the area were left in a city in ruin. One of the main changes that was made that was supposed to save the city millions of dollars ended up costing citizens one of their most basic necessities, poisoning people, and even costing people their lives. This is the story of the water crisis in Flint and the evidence that points to the water still not being clean. So, in 2011, the state of Michigan seized control of the local government, leaving the city leaders powerless. The governor at the time, Rick Snyder, decided to take action to try to bring money back into the city by appointing who they called emergency managers to help solve the financial crisis in the city. These were people that were given special privileges to take actions they saw fit in an attempt to bring money back into the city. They would not have to go through the standard government procedures to make big changes. And one of these officials is even quoted in the beginning of this movement in an interview saying, "I think we have to look at the expense side first. There could be services that we can no longer provide the city." Little did they know they meant the basic necessity of clean running water. On
this, fucking Republicans.
I know. Writing this, I was like, God damn it. It's going to get a little tiny bit political. On April 25th, 2014, Flint's water source was switched from water purchased from the city of Detroit to water pumped from the Flint River while they waited on construction of the Lake Huron pipeline. This was a temporary measure, and it was immediately noticeable to the citizens. The water coming out of their taps was brown and cloudy. It had a foul smell, and it even stained people's sinks and bathtubs. The citizens immediately started visiting city council with jugs of the disgusting water demanding change. Dogs and cats were dying. Tomatoes started turning black. Pregnant women started to lose their babies. a local General Motors plant even took themselves off the water because it was corroding engine parts. And of course, filtered water coolers were installed in the state office building.
Of course.
And that was within, like, this was very early. I don't know what year, but very early. Even with the visible dirty water, the city and state officials claimed that the water was safe and that they had federal tests to prove it. This was until an employee at the Environmental Protection Agency leaked a document showing that the water had high levels of lead. This document was sent to a local resident, Leanne Walters. Leanne had called Professor Mark Edwards, an internationally recognized water safety expert at Virginia Tech, when her child became sick. He immediately started testing the water from her house and was horrified by his findings. He found disease-causing bacteria, known carcinogens, and all on top of the extreme amounts of lead. And he said that one sip of the water would cause a child's blood to be at the level of lead poisoning.
Wow.
One sip of the water. They found that her water from her house had 13,000 parts per billion particles of lead. And the federal threshold for action is about 1,000 times lower.
My God.
Even after this information was released, the government still did not recognize that the water was the problem. They claimed that lead came from her pipes and not from the dirty water, but the pipes in her house were plastic. Meanwhile, a local pediatrician did her own research and noticed that just 17 months after the water switch, the number of children with high levels of lead in their blood doubled and even tripled in some neighborhoods. After she released this information, a spokesperson from the Department of Environmental Quality called the pediatrician an unfortunate excuse for a researcher.
Wow.
And that she was causing near hysteria. The governor's office spokesperson said that she was splicing and dicing numbers.
Jesus.
I know. And on July 9th, 2015, those claiming the water was safe went as far as releasing a video of the mayor of Flint, Dane Walling, drinking a cup of tap water on local television to ensure their residents that it was safe.
Yeah, whatever.
Meanwhile, there's like toxic waste spilling out into your sink.
Right.
No.
Great.
So finally, in September of 2015, largely because of the research done by Professor Mark Edwards, the state admitted that there was a problem. They found that the water from Flint was the Flint River was 19 times more corrosive than the water from Detroit.
Jesus.
The new water from the river did not have the necessary chemicals added to it to keep the lead from the old pipes in the city from flaking off and leaching into the water. The river water was corroding the pipes, making the problem extremely difficult to control. And this wasn't an accident either. Someone gave the okay to not add the necessary chemicals to water when the switch was made. I presume one of the emergency people or whatever their fucking name was. In October 2015, the government bought water filters for its citizens and switched back to water from Detroit after a lot of pushback. But unfortunately, the water itself was not the problem they had on their hands now. Even with the clean water running through them, the old pipes still to this day are leaching lead and other harmful materials into the water. The government has been claiming over and over again that the water is okay now, but you can still ask anyone in the city for a sample of the water, and it's clearly still cloudy and undrinkable.
Yeah, it's disgusting looking.
Yeah.
Yeah. The citizens still do not trust their leaders for good reason, and many people are still using bottled water. The government was providing citizens with bottled water, but they just recently cut off the service. And now citizens have to buy their own bottled water as well as pay outrageously high water bills for the dirty water that they didn't even use.
My God.
So this switch was supposed to save them money, but they had to switch it back, which costed them like billions of dollars. And they're just making residents pay for it.
So pieces dumb. Of
shit. Yeah. And so when people ask, why am I paying for this water I can't use? They're like, well, you can use it. It's clean. And they're like, it's literally
not. Like, yeah.
Literally toxic sludge.
Yeah. So today, 85% of the lead pipes have been replaced in Flint, but coronavirus has stopped the construction. And this doesn't seem to be easing citizens' minds, since almost all of its residents have completely lost trust in the officials in Flint and the state of Michigan.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
in November 13th, 2015, residents even filed a federal case action lawsuit claiming 14 state and city officials, including Snyder, knowingly exposed Flint residents to toxic water. More than a dozen other lawsuits were filed against those involved in the crisis, and many people, organizations, and governments have been charged with negligence and an assortment of other charges. On January 30th, 2017, a $722 million class action lawsuit was filed against the EPA on behalf of more than 1,700 residents impacted by the water crisis. The city received a $100 million settlement, which is helping replace the pipes and kind of rebuild the city from a more civil standpoint. So there is, I guess, some good things coming out of it, but still not really what they wanted.
Right.
So it's unclear exactly who was responsible for the crisis, but there is a plethora of evidence from the past 6 years where officials were given the chance to take action against the poisoning of their citizens, and they did not. One example of this is, according to CNN, on March 23rd, 2015, the Flint City Council members voted 7-1 to stop using river water and reconnect with Detroit. However, the state-appointed emergency manager, Jerry Ambrose, overrules the vote, calling it incomprehensible, claiming that that cost would skyrocket and water from Detroit is no safer than water from Flint.
What?
Okay. And all of these problems were so stagnant for so long because the state took over Flint's government, and so the city officials were left powerless in the fight to protect its own citizens. And the emergency managers seemed to have one thing in mind, which was money. And they were going to do anything in their power to save money, even if it meant poisoning and killing the city of Flint. And this is still a problem today. They're claiming, like, if you look up, does Flint have clean water? It says yes, but none of the citizens want to drink the water. Like, there was an interview with a guy that said, if someone claims that the water's clean, they're either being paid or they're delusional from the poisoning of the water, because it's not.
Lead poisoning.
Yes. So it seems no matter what happens to the water in the city of Flint in the state of Michigan, the city of Flint and the state of Michigan have completely lost the trust of its Flint residents. So, not even really a conspiracy, because it's all true, but the conspiracy lies in why the fuck people would let their whole town get poisoned knowingly.
Because they're racist.
Yes, and classist for sure. It's a very poor, obviously, area from all of the plants leaving, which is very similar thing that happens around here when the GM plant closed in West Carrollton. That's why that area is like the way that it is, because all those people work for GM. So,
see, that's what I was gonna say. I feel like it could have something to do with them trying to clear the city of Flint out, because they're not using it for corporation anymore. So maybe they're trying to like completely clear it out so that they can just dismantle that whole place.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, it makes a lot of sense. Or at least that's why I feel like there's like always a hint of like that might not, like maybe someone didn't sit down and plan that, you know, but there's always a hint of things like that in what's happening.
Yeah.
It's like people don't really care about Flint because it's this like looked down upon city, especially now. Even before, like, there's the crime rates in Flint are outrageous because they had to fire half of their police force when all of this financial stuff was happening. And there's a documentary somewhere. I know we've watched it.
Oh my God, it's on Netflix. It's so good, called Flint Town.
Yes.
There's like one cop for every like 1,000 residents in Flint.
Mm-hmm. Like people calling about like murders, they wouldn't get any police to show up for like 3 days.
That's insane.
Like they just have like nothing. Wow. So it's just like descended into chaos, and this is just like another layer of things that's happening there. And it's just like, it's all the state's fault. Like the city was actively trying to change this, and the state was like, well, we seized your government, so sorry, you can't do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like they were just puppets.
That's a lot.
Yeah, though. Shit's fucked.
Yeah. So sorry, that was really heavy.
No, it's all right.
No, you're okay. You're going to hear like about something equally as heavy.
Great. Can't wait. Great. Looking forward to it.
Needs to be talked about for sure.
Yes. So yes, clean water for Flint.
Yes.
That's my story. That's the
tweet. All right. Okay. So originally I was going to do this like unsolved but also kind of solved murder that's in the Lower Peninsula of Michigan. But as I said earlier, my whole entire family is from Michigan. So when I went to ask my parents about any cases or like ghost stories they knew about, I got a really interesting response from my mom.
Ooh, okay.
That makes it better.
In June, I know, I'm so excited. In June of 1981, my mom was living in Ishpeming, Michigan, a small town near Lake Superior, built to accommodate the mining economy that was very heavy in that area. She had just finished her freshman year of high school when a news story broke, shaking the whole relatively safe town of Ishpeming. Helen Diamond, age 48, had not been seen since leaving the Tilden Township Social Club in the early morning hours of June 28th, 1981. The evening prior to her disappearance, Helen and her husband, Roy, attended a community get-together at the private Tilden Township Social Club, aka it was a bar. So one of Diamond's daughters and her husband joined them for some drinks before they departed early in the evening. And then, you know, drinks start flowing. Soon enough, Roy and Helen were, you know, pretty drunk, having a good time with their friends. But, you know, Roy said, yeah, he wanted to leave. Other people who were at the party offered the Diamonds a ride, but they declined. However, Helen decided she didn't quite want to leave yet. And in the parking lot, Helen and Roy got into a heated argument. Like, they were screaming at each other. And Roy left Helen alone at the club and told her, well, she can walk home.
Damn.
Helen returned inside where she was offered a ride once again, but she declined and told the other partygoers that she was going to walk the 13 minutes south on County Road 476 to her son's house and spend the night. When Roy returned home from the social club, he phoned his daughter, who had joined him at the club earlier that night, to ask if she had seen or heard from Helen, but the daughter said she hadn't. When Roy said they were fighting earlier in the night, no big alarm bells went off inside the family's heads because I guess this kind of thing happened a lot, and it was pretty normal for Helen to spend the night at her son's house after a fight with her husband. Then she just vanished, never to be seen again, and leaving her family with a whole lot more questions than answers. The family reported Helen missing immediately, and the police waived the recommended 24-hour waiting period thanks to a big storm that was rolling in. However, the police said that Helen probably left on her own accord, and since she was an adult, she's totally allowed to go missing and do whatever she wants. So really, no help there, even though they waived the like 24-hour waiting period that they did back then. They still were just like, whatever. A news story ran in the local paper the next week, and the police started to take Helen's disappearance a little bit more seriously, but weren't like 100% gung-ho about it. So family, friends, and members of the community started searching the nearby areas for any sign of Helen, but found absolutely nothing. But as soon as Helen's family reported her missing, there was just so many inconsistencies that started to pop up. The first big question is the timeline of when Helen actually left the club. So the witnesses at the party said that she left at 2:00 in the morning. However, Helen's family believes that's a lie. So it's illegal to serve alcohol past 2 in the morning. But since it's a private club, they would have been able to serve alcohol like as long as they wanted. But a lot of people think that the people in the club thought that they would get in trouble for serving alcohol past 2 a.m. So they really think that Helen left the club between like 3:30 and 4 in the morning.
Very interesting.
Yeah. Makes sense. So obviously the police interviewed and ruled out Helen's husband, Roy, along with the rest of the family. And then another tip came through to the police that Helen stopped by a party on the road that she was walking home on. But the police dismissed that pretty quickly. The witness eventually denied their statement, and through a polygraph test, the police determined the tip to be false. So I don't know why he said that in the beginning.
Yeah, that's odd.
A missing persons report was published in the Mining Journal, which is like their local newspaper up there. However, details... I say however a lot. Wow. Details like the color of Helen's eyes and the color of the jacket she was wearing were incorrect. So the family actually had to submit another report on their own accord with correct info. When the jacket color was corrected, one matching the description showed up on a nearby fisherman's path with unusual buttons and the drawstrings pulled out. And the family actually said, okay, that's our grandma's jacket. She hates the drawstrings, you know, like at the bottom of the jacket.
Oh, it's like, yeah.
She hates those and always pulled them out. So they're gotcha. Like, this is her jacket. And she had these weird buttons on here. But the police said, nope, not hers. Can't be. The jacket is not weathered from the elements. It would have been more torn up by now. So, nope, not hers. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like, no.
Just, but wait this. But wait for this. In August of 1981, one of the mining pits was scheduled to be drained to search for evidence. But the surrounding residents complained that the ducks in the area would be too affected if the water level became too low. So a detective said, no, we're not doing it.
Wow. Like,
what the fuck?
My God.
Okay.
Like, that's multiple fucked.
People or just one person?
I know. I'm guessing the person who said that the ducks would be affected is the one who killed her and put her in the mining shaft.
That's, and then he got like a bunch of people on board for it.
And he's like, right. Those ducks. Like,
right.
Those this is going to mess everything like, up.
Like, I'm sure those UP ducks will be fine for like, a month.
You're never 6 miles away, than more than 6 miles away from water, so they could just fly somewhere else.
Exactly. Right, exactly. So, and then in 1988, one of Helen's daughters received a phone call from an acquaintance who said he believed his mother's boyfriend might have struck Helen with her vehicle while driving drunk and buried her body on a farm that belonged to one of his friends.
Oh my God.
By this point, the boyfriend was deceased and the person who owned the farm had gone senile and was unable to provide any information. Police did search the farm but found no evidence to support the story.
Interesting. Very. Why are people creating all these like
right. possibly I know there's reasons. I know there. Well, small town, you know, people talk.
Yeah, that's true.
But one thing that I found really interesting is that in October of 1981, so the same year that Helen went missing, a 51-year-old woman named Barbara Okeson was beaten and stabbed to death in her mobile home only a few miles away from where Helen was last seen. Oh. And I think she was like the same. Yeah. So she was 51 and Helen was 48 when she went missing. So there was a suspect, but he died a few months later after being struck by a vehicle. But there is some skepticism about whether or not the suspect actually committed the crime, as a hair sample found in Okeson's hand did not match him, and his handprint did not match a palm print found on the murder weapon. Since police suspected that the murder and Helen's disappearance might be connected, there was concern that they were too content to pin both crimes on the deceased suspect, even though he may not have been responsible for either of them. Huh. And the family also thinks that's very plausible as well.
Yeah.
So Helen's granddaughters, Holly and April, who were infants at the time of Helen's disappearance, have taken the investigation into their own hands. They've compiled newspaper articles, case files, and mountains of other information about their grandmother's case over the 39 years since Helen went missing and the trail went cold in her disappearance. So I actually watched three different interviews on YouTube from the local news outlets, and their work on this case is like super impressive. It's amazing. The family continues to insist that Helen's disappearance was not voluntary. Helen did not drive and had no money with her. Even her bank account has never been touched. So when I was kind of researching about this, that was like the main theory. Police were like, she left. Maybe she was having an affair. Like, what? Okay.
Like, sexist much?
Right. So, and then I called my grandma to ask if she remembered. And the only thing that she remembered is that, well, she was like, well, she was probably really drunk and just like wandered off and like got lost and, you know, elements and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But then my mom was talking to them on the phone, my grandparents, later than like 30 or 45 minutes later. And I guess my grandpa chimed in from the background and he said, yeah, everyone thinks she was either put into a mine shaft or accidentally fell into one of those mine shafts.
Very interesting.
Because, which, I mean, like, they're all full of either, now since they're not being used, they're all full of like rainwater or like groundwater.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So even if she was in there, she would literally never be found.
True. Yeah.
And like, why would you just wander to a mine shaft if you're drunk?
Right. Like,
wouldn't. Well, it's like, do and that,
you.
Probably.
It's like, and you know, you've lived there your whole life. You know where they all are. Like, there's no way that she would just trip and fall into a mine shaft. Like, I'm sorry, that's stupid. Like,
no. Yeah, I put my money on that too. And like the duck thing is so strange.
Right.
Like, whoever threw that paper, your mom's a hoe. It's like,
literally.
Whoever said that is the killer.
Your mom's, Yeah, so theories about falling into mine shafts, you know, according to my grandpa, getting hit by a car and disposed of are among the most popular theories. And according to an article in Superior Land published in April of 1992, police believe Helen accepted a ride on the way home from the club, and that person was most likely unknown to her. Police also believe Helen was murdered that night and her body was disposed of somewhere in the area. But ultimately, it's still a missing persons case. There's no proof she's dead and there's no proof she's alive. So her case is actually still open.
Wow.
Helen's family. Yeah, isn't that crazy? Yeah. Helen's familial DNA was submitted to NamUs, and hopefully there will be a match soon so this family can finally find some peace in knowing what happened to their grandma in the spring of 1981.
Yeah.
And just a personal thing here, Ishpeming, Michigan is a place I hold super near and dear to my heart. My parents met there when my dad was stationed at K.I. Sawyer. Oh. It's where my mom, aunt, and uncle graduated from high school. My whole mom's side of the family lives there. My family's camp is on the Dead River Basin. I can just drive down the road to Nagani to get the best pasties in the world. And most importantly, it's where I can eat spaghetti for breakfast at Ralph's Italian Deli. And it's the ultimate landmark to where I base my geography. The fact that Helen Diamond is still missing from a town this small absolutely baffles my mind. There is someone that knows something.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Holly and April's Facebook page, committed to getting these very answers, has amazing resources with hours of reading material if you really want to do a deep dive. So all you have to do is go to Facebook, search The Disappearance of Helen Diamond, write in the Facebook search bar, and just read up. You might be the person who knows something or knows someone who can help solve this case and give Helen Diamond's family the answers they have been yearning for decades. Helen went missing wearing a purple nylon windbreaker with unusual buttons and a missing drawstring, blue jeans, and moccasins. And she actually wore some like really cool cat eye framed glasses, and her ears were also pierced. And in all the pictures I've seen, she's wearing like really big like drop earrings.
Sounds like a queen to me.
I know.
And finally, if you have any information about the disappearance of Helen Diamond, there is a $5,000 reward for information leading to an arrest and conviction if foul play was involved. Information can be emailed to whereishelendiamond@gmail.com, or you can contact the Michigan State Police at 906-475-9922. And that is the disappearance of Helen Diamond.
Wow, that was a really good story.
That was.
Thank you. I tried to do it justice.
You did. It was really good.
Like, it's so sad. Crazy. Like, it really, like, some of these cases, like, I'm really, like, I'm pretty good at, like, compartmentalizing. But this one just, like, got to me because, you know, like, I love Ishpeming. It's like, well, yeah, like, that whole area, like, Marquette, Ishpeming, that's, like, my favorite. I love it there.
Yeah. And I can, like, especially if it's something, like, all your family knows, you know, like, shook the town, and such a small town that has such a big impact on the people there.
Well, right. Absolutely.
I think the craziest thing is, like, obviously, since it's still an open case, like, it's an open cold case, if that's possible. But yeah. It happened in the 80s, so the person who did it, if someone did do it, could potentially already be dead, and that secret could have died with them already.
Right, exactly, mm-hmm. Which is so, yeah, like, scary to think about, too. Like, we could potentially just never know what happened.
Right.
And yeah, her family is just like, where the fuck's my grandma?
Right.
For, like, the rest of eternity.
I would be very interested in hearing more about the duck thing. Like, that of all, like, a couple of the other, like, people that gave tips, like, they could be just trying to get the reward money or something. Right. Or, like, pin it on someone they didn't like, or, like, I don't know. But that is sketchy. Like, I don't know who in their right mind thinks about ducks like that.
I agree. I totally agree. Especially,
like, in such a lush environment like that. Like, it'd be different if that was, like, the only pond within 100 miles.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But it's not.
Exactly.
That is insane.
Yeah. I know, that was very fishy to me too. And then my mom said that she would share our episode on, like, some groups from Ishpeming. So hello.
Cool. Hi. Hello.
Hi, Ishpeming. We are trying to solve your cold case.
Yes. If you have any tips, I know some of you, one of you knows something.
Yeah. Let's send it to Jensen and Holes and see if they can solve the crime.
We should. Murder squad.
Well, if we hear some more interesting information, we can do another little, like, press conference episode about
absolutely.
It.
Yeah.
So be on the lookout.
All right. Wow. That was
such a good episode.
I know. It was really, really good.
This is probably our best one yet.
That's what I was thinking.
It can only get better from here, right?
We had a listener story. We had a personal story. Like, oh my God, so good.
We've only ever had one other listener story, so.
Yeah.
Wow, it's amazing. Someone send us more stories.
Please.
I
want to read listener stories. Beach, why don't
you tell them how they can do that?
I will. If you're listening now, I assume you know where we're streaming, but we're streaming on all large streaming platforms, plus a couple of other ones. And I didn't realize until recently that Anchor actually creates, like, a little, like, home website for us. So you can go to anchor.fm/tipsyghoulspodcast, I'm pretty sure. And that is our little, like, homepage. You can see where we're streaming, and it connects to our Instagram account, which is our main form of communication. We are Tipsy Ghouls Podcast, and there we share any, like, episode preview little stories and stuff, and you can send us messages on there, send us more listener stories. Literally anything interesting you have. It doesn't have to be as good of a story as we had this week. You can send us just anything. Yeah, and follow us there for all of our updates. That's our main account. We also have a Twitter. It is Tipsy Ghouls Pod. That's more just, like, funny stuff. Lauren runs that one. It's super fun.
Yes.
And you can also become a ghoulie on Patreon for $5 a month. And we have a pre-show we do sometimes over there. Not this week, but that's kind of more like get to know us. So if you like our banter, or you want to hear more about just getting to know the three of us, you can listen to that. There's also ad-free episodes over there. And there's going to be probably more things coming in the future for the ghoulies. like I said, only $5 a month. It's a good deal if you ask me. And then you can also email us at tipsygoalspodcast@gmail.com if you have anything else you want to talk to us about, or if you have a longer story that won't fit in an Instagram DM. And I think that is it. So definitely feel free to contact us. Let us know how you think of the podcast. We always love hearing from you guys.
Well, yeah. and if you remember from earlier, if you subscribe to our Patreon, then we'll send you some stickers. So
yes, stickers. Yes, keep an eye out for some merch, i.e. stickers just at first, but I think we're going to sell those on my Etsy shop for a little bit, or create a new Etsy shop for those. So those should be really cool. I'm excited.
Heck yeah, yeah. I'm excited too.
Yeah. Well, this was great.
Yeah.
It was.
I am
astonished at our amazing episode. I am so ready for everyone to hear it.
It only took 25 episodes for us to like finally get in the groove.
Hit our stride.
Exactly. Wow. Yes.
Well, are you conspiracy kooks ready to close this session?
Yes.
Yes.
Until next time.
It's not that hard to provide people with clean water, officials of Michigan. And if you think that it is hard, you should watch Zac Efron's water episode of Down to Earth on Netflix. It's really not that hard.
And
not that hard.
If you feel like that's at you, then it's probably at you. So
right. Exactly. Exactly. You know who you are. And that's the tea.
Just remember that the Whitney is made of pink granite, and if you think it looks great, it's because of capitalism. So, yay. There you go.
So fun.
If you know anything about the disappearance of Helen Diamond, please contact authorities. I know someone knows something. And I'm just going to leave you with Michigan's the best state out of all of them. So, that's a fact.
Interesting.
And that's the tea, sis.
And that's the tea.
Sounds very subjective to me.
Opinions that are also facts.
Yes. My new podcast. All right.
And bye.
Goodbye.
For some reason, I was going to say that's why we drink, but that's a different podcast.
And that's why we drink.
'Starting off strong tonight.
All the time you turn around, brother, since I'm at, are we looking at me up and down? Looking at me.
I've also gained a literal fuck ton of weight.
I'm sorry. The way that you said that. Literal
fuck ton. Like, that's exactly how many pounds you think.
Yes.
Like, you go to the DMV and it's like, your weight, a literal fuck ton.
Yep. My diaphragm.
My diaphragm. I'm fucking old.
It just said.
Cannot compute.
2.85 E10.
Oh, cool.
Is that billion?
Cool. I don't know. I'm old as fuck and just crying all the time.
And the only reason you might think it's gray is because of
capitalism.
Fuck.
That's gonna be a great blooper.
Capital.
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 I was trying to pronounce stuff tonight. It's just fucked.